so much is going on, and then we have a painter that's doing a lot of painting for us, and he doesn't speak English. Española? No. How do you say Spanish? Español. His name is, we call him Juan the Painter. And he's the nicest guy. And Federico Martinez, is this, where's my Iglesia La Roca? Let me see the girls. Where are you? Iglesia La Roca's. So anyway, he doesn't speak English. He works very hard with his crew. So I was over there with Federico Martinez, and I was making a plan to get Federico and Juan the painter on the same campus at the same time, because you know what happens then. It's called lightning. One man of God witnesses to a man of God that needs God, and who knows what can happen, right? So what am I doing? I'm networking, aren't I? Networking, because that's what women do. We are the networkers of the planet. And you do it every day, and you don't think about it because it's part of your life. You network your children, you network your families, you network at the marketplace, you network everywhere. And this planet couldn't exist without your amazing abilities that you take for granted and think this is nothing, but you're doing it all the time. And we're in a series called Proverbs 31. We started it last week. This is lesson two. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so if you've got a notebook, you're going to take notes, okay? Because I think that this possibly could be one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear as a woman of God. I don't hear this taught a lot. As a matter of fact, I've never heard it taught this way. And I'm jumping from a book called Letters to a Lady by Pastor Phil Baker, who is in Australia. I read his book, and I knew Phil. He's a great pastor there. And he wrote a letter, or he wrote a book called Letters to a Lady. And I'd studied Proverbs 31 for years, and I told you my story. I'd get frustrated, slam the book shut, and say, oh, come on, God, nobody can be this woman. And then God spoke to my heart and said, you're reading it wrong. This isn't who you're supposed to be. This is who you are. There's a big difference. When you know who you are, then you can be. Going deep. Okay. And so Proverbs 31 is an acrostic. Now, who can tell me what an acrostic is? Okay, English students, where's all my teachers? Acrostic. Yes. I love it. Like rock women, righteous, outrageous, creative, kingdom women. Right? That'd be an acrostic. Okay, the oldest acrostic, and this is from Webster's Dictionary, is, have you ever seen the insignia for Christianity of a fish? Well, in the Greek, which was a language spoken in the Gentile church, Jesus Christ, God, Son, Savior, in the Greek, the first letter of each of those words spelled the letter in the Greek, fish. And so that's where we get the fish and the sign of Christianity. You know, you've seen the fish, right? Everybody's looking at me like, huh? Come on, wake up. We're in class. We're learning. Acrostic. It helps you remember. An acrostic will help you remember something important. Our very logo, Women Rock, Women Redeemed, Occupying Christ's Kingdom. That's our logo. I mean, that's our acrostic. You can have all kinds of them, but it's something that helps you remember. And Proverbs 31, from verse 10 to verse 32, is an acrostic because each opening word of a Proverbs 31 verse is a letter of the Greek, of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 verses. There's 22 Hebrew letters. Look at your neighbor and say, there's 22 letters. Yeah, okay, we're going to go over this and over this so you remember it, okay? Remember A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Okay, that was in the 50s. I learned it. You learned it in the 80s. Now I know my ABCs. Next time will you sing with me? Okay, we learned that song in one melody or another to remember what? Our ABCs, right? Well, here is this beautiful woman. And if you've got your Bibles, go with me to Proverbs 31. She is the wife of a king. We don't know if it's Solomon's Bathsheba or if it's actually somebody else. It's not clear. But what is clear is what she says. And she is speaking to her son. How many moms have a son? Okay, then you know how important it is in your heart that your son find the right woman, right? Yeah, because you know women, right? Yeah. Well, just reverse that with fathers and daughters. They know men, right? So this woman, this queen, is speaking to her prince. And she says, if you'll go with me, this isn't on the overhead, but let's just, for a learning moment, let's just go there. And she begins Proverbs 31, and it says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, what the son of my woman, what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, pervert the justice of all the afflicted, give strong drink to him who is perishing. So that's the only time you get to have a drink. Okay, got that? Look at your neighbor and say, okay, I got to be almost dead in the hospital and then I can't have any. Okay. I'm just messing with you. And wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. That is what a ruler does. Now, she's teaching her son. She jumps off from there with his duties. Now she changes, and she begins in verse 10, the acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet, to now teach her son, the son of her love, the son of her womb, what a godly woman is, and the kind of woman that he is to understand, remember, and look for. Because men are the head, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. And Eve pioneered sin, and she said to Adam, here, honey, have a piece of fruit and die. No, she didn't say that. She said, here, honey, have a piece of fruit. It looks really good. Now, of course, Adam was right there. He'd been thinking about this for a long time. But she influenced him not to good, but she influenced him to evil. The word is evil. Did she not? You and I have no idea how powerful our influence is. We were created in the image of God. We were created male and female. We were created to stand face to face, side by side with a man. We were created before the fall. There was no hierarchy of rulership. They were one, like the Godhead. There wasn't big me, little you. You're a woman, and I'm going to browbeat you. And there wasn't, I am woman, hear me roar, Adam. There wasn't any of that. There was a oneness and a unity and a love. There was the divine romance that was beyond anything we have ever seen, and we get a glimpse of it at the cross when Jesus Christ died for us. That's the beginning of the romance that heaven has for us. And so, because of the fall, woman began to change quickly. She died. And I believe that Proverbs 31 is God's way of showing us what we can be and who we really are. Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You now and I now have a new DNA. The old Deborah Cobray, even though she sometimes is very alive and well, right? The old nature. The old Deborah Cobray has died to sin, and a new life has been given me, the life of the kingdom of God. I now belong to Jesus Christ. He is my King. He is my God, my eternal Father. The Holy Spirit is my teacher, my comforter, my advocate, my attorney. He is everything to me. He's my mother. He's my father. He's the power of God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. So now I have the ability to be this Proverbs 31 woman. So when we look at Proverbs 31, it's not for us to be exhausted and discouraged. It's for us to be inspired and to rise, because every time you raise the bar, every time you raise the bar, there is a God factor on the inside of you called excellence that wants to reach that bar and wants to get there. It's only sin and the enemy and the devil that wants to put humanity down and women down and tell us we're stupid and we're weak. We can't do this and we can't do that. God never said that about woman. He has set us free, and this is who we are. So we saw in Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, it's an acrostic, 22 verses. Each verse begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Hebrews spoke in pictures. So their alphabet had pictures. In other words, a picture meant something. Now, most of the time, you can relate the picture with the characteristic of Proverbs 31 girl. Sometimes it's a bit of a stretch for us, but we're going to see how far we get. Are you ready? Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would open my mouth and that you would cause my mind to be sharp and to hear your voice. Open the eyes and the ears of the women that are listening to this. And Lord, may we become what we've never been. May we understand what we have not understood. May we see the light. May we walk into it. And may you empower us with the Holy Spirit and your goodness to walk on this earth in this generation and be the women you've called us to be. May we serve your destiny. May we bring your kingdom. And may we be a blessing and network heaven wherever we go. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's daughters are wonderfully designed to be exceptionally strong, incredibly beautiful, unusually brilliant. So I'm going to define virtuous, because the first letter and the first in Proverbs, and this was last week, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and evil all the days of her life. We stopped there last week, and virtuous we defined as a capable, intelligent, strong, wealthy, powerful, mighty, able woman. A woman with God's qualities of doing life. In other words, when you walk on this planet through your earth years, you are going to walk on this planet and you're going to do life just like Jesus did. Because there's two realities. There's the natural world and there's the kingdom of God. I can see the natural world, but I got to believe for the kingdom of God, but it's more real than the natural. And Jesus was on this earth, but he lived in the reality of the kingdom of God, where what is impossible with man is possible with God. Are you hearing me? That means a marriage can be put back together. That means a child who is gone can come home. That means when you're broke and you don't have any hope, there's hope, because God can turn it around in one day like he did Joseph. That means that what wasn't right and what wasn't just and what wasn't possible in your life, now in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God comes to you and you begin to understand it and walk in the ways of God. Now, the possible becomes very real to you and God can do something supernatural in your life. That's why we need to know who we are and walk in these things. So today we're going to cover verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. We're going to look at the alphabet, and then we're going to look at who we are. You ready? Let's go to Proverbs 31, verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. I'm going to read the whole thing, then we'll go back. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and she buys it, and from her profits, she plants a vineyard. We're going to see this amazing woman of God who's in the marketplace, who is successful, who's making money. She's a real estate mogul. She's doing many, many things. But let's go back to the very first one, verse 13. Proverbs 31, 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Now, the word there that begins the Hebrew alphabet that is bringing this one to us is dalit. It's the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's dalith, and it symbols an open door. Now, maybe you can't see an open door, but blur your eyes a little bit. See, there's the door. What is that thing called? Yeah, the threat. Well, that would be the top part. The beam that holds the door up. And that's the door right there, and it's open. It's an open door. Dalif, the Hebrew letter, is an open door. Now, what has that got to do is with she seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands? We're from the 21st century. We don't even know what that means, do we? How many know what that means? Oh, it means so much. Now, I want to teach you something today about what this verse means. We got to go back 3,000 years because that's when this was written. Proverbs was written about 950 BC, before Christ. Christ, 2,000 years ago. So let's do the math. That's almost 3,000 years. So let's time travel back 3,000 years. No machines. No electricity. Nothing. So how do you live? How do you put clothes on? How do you eat? How do you build a house? How do you farm without irrigation and sprinklers and pipes and water and electricity? Are you with me? Woolen flax. What the heck is woolen flax? Well, duh, we know that wool comes from sheep, right? And we know that flax is a plant, and it's what we call the plant that makes the fabric called linen. Have you ever had a linen blouse? Yeah. It's real light. It's made out of flax. It's made out of a plant. It wrinkles really easy, but it's got a really cool look, especially on upholstery. It's a real beach look, right? You know what I'm talking about? You guys are awfully quiet. So, she seeks out the wool and the flax, and she willingly works with her hands. What this means is that she's looking for the good stuff, and she's looking to do something that is actually a very mundane, boring, necessary, absolute job. It's a job you don't want to do, but you got to do it. You got any chores like that in your life? It says that she works willingly. She seeks it out. So first of all, she's looking for something to do that isn't exactly the funnest thing in the world to do. So this speaks to me of attitude, because you see, if that's an open door, then my attitude is going to open the doors of life to me, and it's either going to be a good life or it's going to be a bad life, because it's not about what life brings me, it's about what I bring to life. There's an old saying, and I say it here all the time, if you spit at me, you don't make me mad, you make me mad. Why? Because what I do to the spit is my responsibility. If I respond with anger, that's on me, isn't it? It's the same thing with life. Like it or not, we're on this planet, a fallen planet. There's going to be hard work. There's going to be necessary chores. And if you don't seek out the wool and the flax, you're going to have a bunch of naked kids running around, and your husband's going to be exposed where the sun doesn't shine, and you are going to be embarrassed. Because, girls, you couldn't have clothes if you didn't beat the flax, and we're going to see it in a minute. String it out, spin it into thread, weave the cloth, and then sew the clothes. In other words, women were doing this all day and all night. This was something you learned as a little girl, and you never stopped doing it because there was no other way to get clothes. You could sew some animal skins and leather, but it was wool and flax. Now, there's not a mention of cotton, so maybe cotton didn't grow in that Mediterranean climate. But it was flax. Now, I want to show you a couple pictures. I've got a little video about this. Would you like to see how they did it? Okay, let's watch the video. Bundles that were on top of her robe. I think these are the Amish, so I'm not sure this was men's work in the Hebrew life. Now there we have flax. Now they're going to break it. You have to break the fibers up. So you break it all day long. Begins to look like a horse's tail. So as he's breaking up that flax, he's breaking up the fibers in that plant, and it's beginning to elongate. Do you see it? See how long the fibers are getting? Okay, let's move on. Okay, now he's scutching the flax. When's the last time you scutched flax? Okay, he's combing it. He's getting all of the plant debris out of it. So it'll just be fibrous. Now this is even before you can... Now he's hacking it, which means he's combing it. Now this is where you begin to see what looks like a flaxen horse's tail. You ever heard of the old English word, she's a flaxen maid? That's where the word comes from, blonde. Now he's collecting the seeds, because you got to have the seeds so that you can grow the flax so that next year you got some clothes. Gathers up the seeds for planting. Nothing's wasted. Now she's going to be taking that flax and she's going to begin now to spin it into thread. Now this is a spinning wheel. They didn't have spinning wheels 3,000 years ago. They had a distaff. I'll show you that in a minute. This is a modern invention. I believe it's around the 1500s that the spinning wheel came. Doesn't that look like a horse's tail to you? Does that look like long blonde hair? Flaxen mane? So now she's twisting it, and she's spinning it into thread. And then once she has it spun into thread, which it takes a lot of flax, now she's going to have to weave it into cloth. When she weaves it into the cloth, she can then sew a garment. So you can see how long of a process wearing something really was. You just didn't go down to the swap meet or downtown LA or the thrift store or Neiman Marcus or wherever you go and buy clothes. Now you're going to weave it all day long. This is on top of raising kids, keeping them alive in the dirt. No bottle, so you got a nurse. So if you have a baby a year, ooh, you better wean that child fast, because then you're going to have two. Then you got to chop the wood, you got to build the fire, you got to pluck the chicken if you even have one, got to shuck the corn. What I'm saying to you is life was hard. It's full of a lot of work. See, she's weaving. That's enough. Let's go ahead and move on, because I think you can see. Did you get an idea of that? So you read a verse like this, and what does it mean? She works willingly with her hands. Listen to this. It says she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. In other words, this is something you got to do, whether you want to do it or not. Everybody's going to be naked if you don't do it. And you know, ahead of you is a lot of hard work and a lot of monotonous, boring work. But this woman willingly is looking for the best flax and the best wool. She has an attitude that no matter how mundane the task is, it's going to be excellent, and my people are going to be clothed with beauty, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to get going and I'm going to do this. Let me read you just a couple of quotes about attitude. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Winston Churchill. Excellence is not a skill, it's an attitude. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact on our attitudes towards life. The longer I live, the more convinced I am that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond. Attitude. She works willingly with her hands. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Just three things to consider in this verse as we move on. She gets the job done. She doesn't procrastinate. She doesn't do it with a bad attitude. She gets up and she's out looking for the best wool and flax. I love that about her. She works willingly with her hands. She's not complaining about having to do all this work. This is her work. Therefore, it's honorable work. Therefore, it's glorious work, it's creative work, and she doesn't have an unwilling attitude. She has a willing attitude to get that mundane stuff done every day. And I don't know about you, but I live in a generation that complains an awful lot. I live in a generation that wants to turn on the TV, go to the movie, find pleasure, do this, do that. And if we have to work too hard, my gosh, aren't we poor us? But you see, the Proverbs 31 girl, God's daughter, she doesn't even begin to think that. She understands that there is daylight, and therefore there is production, there is creativity, and she has the God-given ability to change attitude because it's 10% life, 90% attitude. And she can willingly find the best stuff, and she loves excellence, which is attention to detail. There is nothing that is too menial, too insignificant, or too unimportant for her not to put her whole heart into what she's doing. Whether she's making a meal, whether she's scrubbing a toilet, whether she's looking for the flax to make the thread, whether she's at the loom and she's teaching her daughters how to weave, whether she's dyeing the flax so that her family can have scarlet linen, whatever it is, menial, unimportant, nobody sees you, nobody seems to care, the family takes it for granted, but she has the attitude that she works. She seeks it out and she works willingly with her hands. Speaks of the godly attitude of the Proverbs 31 girl, and it opens the doors of life for her. And life isn't boring, life's exciting. Let's move on. Proverbs 31:14. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. That's the Message Bible. Let's see what it says in the New King James. She's like the merchant ship, she brings her food from afar. She's like the merchant ship, she brings her food from afar. Now we're looking at clothing, now we're talking about food. So she's out, yeah, there's marketplaces by her. There's the little down at the end of the street, the little bakery. But she is like a merchant ship. She is looking for the exotic. She's looking for the best. She's looking for the different. She's like a merchant ship. And the ships brought the treasures from faraway places. I love this in the Message Bible. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. Now, the acrostic, the Hebrew letter here, is the Hebrew letter Hi. It's actually pronounced Hi. It's spelled He in the English, but it's pronounced Hi. And it's a picture of a window. It's actually a window. So what does it speak of? It speaks of vision and perspective. This girl is able to see what others can't see. And she has a whole different perspective on making a home and bringing heaven to her house. Girls, there's a reason why you like the treasure hunt. There is a reason why you like to shop. There is a reason why you like to create. Because God's on the inside of you. And you are the peace of God that brings His beauty and His heaven to this earth. Now, the men have their own talents and abilities, but we're talking about women right now, the woman. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Perspective. I can either be negative or I can be positive, like the attitude. I can see it bad or I can see it good. I can see the potential or I can see the poverty. It's up to me. This woman is able to see what nobody else can see. She can look at a piece of junk and she can see a coffee table. Painted. Just a spray can. She can look at her dining room and she can say, I know I can dress this up on a dime. She gets out a little bucket of paint and a little this and a little that. And before you know it, she has transformed that dining room into something spectacular and beautiful. Why? Because the beauty of God is on the inside of us. Listen, just like the geese fly south for the winter and nobody teaches them. Just like that monarch butterfly knows they hatch in Canada, and they fly all the way to Mexico. They know how to get there. How do they do that? Well, we call it instinct, but I call it the God instinct. We were born originally Humanity began in a garden, paradise, Eden. It was beautiful. The earth is beautiful. I believe with all my heart that there are shadows and imprints on the inside of womanhood where we see beauty, and we do beauty much better than we do ugly. I've told you this before. You are going to be much healthier in a garden than you are in a dump. You don't do ugly well. You don't do dump well. You don't do dirt well. You weren't made to live in the dirt. You were made to live on this earth and have dominion and multiply and be fruitful and be creative. God has put a God creation gift on the inside of every single one of you. And you, each and every one of you, have the ability to create heaven on earth in your homes. You're anointed for that. That is your place. That is why sometimes you don't know what's wrong. You know what you might need to do? You might need to get a girlfriend to watch the kids, and you may need to just go to the dollar store or someplace, a shopping mall or something. Maybe you don't have any money, but just go touch and look and see. Because it's stirring the creative juices on the inside of you. Are you hearing me? Perspective. You have the vision to see what can be. Not what is, but what can be. She's anointed to enrich her home with beauty and excellence. She has a perspective of excellence and beauty. Listen, she knows how to make her house a home. She has the joy. She has the intense joy of the treasure hunt. When she finds that little treasure that she can take home, and you got the deal of deals. Has anybody ever just enjoyed the treasure hunt of shopping? I don't know, maybe you can afford to go buy everything not on sale, but there's just something about a 40% off, a 40% off, a 50% off. Isn't there? Does that speak to all of us? And I know they say, oh, the Rock's just a poor church, look at how poor we are. Well, let's just say we were all wealthy. I am wealthy. And you know what? If I have a choice between shopping at Saks, which I look at the prices and I think you got to be kidding, or going to Marshall's, Home Goods, Dollar Store. Cheer for the Dollar Store. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go where I'm going to get the deal. Why? It drives my husband nuts. Why? Because I enjoy the treasure hunt. I enjoy the ability to take something ugly and make it beautiful. I enjoy the challenge of having nothing, but okay, now we take this nothing. Now, God, what can we do with it? It's like that community garden out there. We took a weed patch and just a little hard work, and now it's a garden. You're anointed to do this. And you need to do this. Sometimes you need to just go buy a candle, and a scented candle, and just light the thing. If you're just in the midst of dump, 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 go buy a pretty candle. And just light it so you've got some scent and some fragrance. Just because smell and taste and touch and texture and color. We're made to live. He gave us life so we could live. We do life beautifully if we believe him. And everybody's got different taste. If you don't like my taste, then God's given you just this creative ability to have your own. I remember when I was 16 years old, and I went to somebody's house in my 16th year, and my mother never was taught that she was creative, so she never did a lot with our house. I mean, it was like, you know, modern versus colonial all mixed together. It was before eclectic. Because my father and my mother could never decide on what they liked. Well, I remember going to this person's house, and they were wealthy, and I looked at this house, and I looked around, and I saw these antiques and this gumball machine, and I instantly loved it. 16 years old, I knew I had found something I like. A look, I like the cottage look. Cozy, cottage. Come in, cozy up. My husband's palatial splendor. If he could live in a palace, he'd live in a palace. He married Shabby Chic, the poor man. So we have a soaring cottage. Seriously. Find your taste. Find what you like. If nobody else likes it, it's okay. Listen, let me just give you a few things about being creative. Creativity is an art that's developed over time. You are creative, so stop saying you're not. I can't do that. Stop saying I can't do that. Stop saying I can't and start asking God to help you. Iron sharpens iron. Watch and see how others do it. Get inspired from nature. Look at nature. Look at the colors, the textures. I mean, God's amazing. Go get planet Earth and watch it. What a planet he's made for us to enjoy. The animals, the fish, the birds, the flowers, the foliage. This planet is spectacular. And your God is spectacular. And you, my darlings, are spectacular. You just let other people tell you what you're not. People can come in and say, no, I don't like that, change that. I mean, Perry's here, she's our realtor. How many times has Perry brought somebody in to stage my house? And they don't like my stuff. And I always get my feelings hurt and cry and get mad at her and everything else. Then you always take the pictures of the house, and you always use the old pictures with the flowers in them that you took away. Okay, so. Point is, find what you love and your family loves and be happy with it. Diversity is wonderful. Trends, fad, fashion for a day is what that means. It's good when you're young and it's cheap and you just move on because you haven't found yourself. But when you get to be my age, you know what you like and don't apologize for it and enjoy it and bring heaven to your house. Listen, write things down, sketch, dream, start a dream book. Don't be discouraged if you don't get it right the first time. There's a learning curve to creativity. I bought this old junky piece of furniture. My husband was horrified that I'd even drag it home. Horrified. So I sand it and I get some spray paint and I painted it and it looked horrible. I did a terrible job. I taped it. You know, I was going to do stripes. It was a mess. So I didn't throw it away. I started again. I did it three times. I mean, that thing is so valuable. If my time is money, that is a $6,000 piece of junk. But you know what? I was having fun because I was releasing my creativity. And whether it worked or it didn't, I'm learning. Go easy on yourself. You're learning how to do this stuff. So if it turns out not quite the way you thought, it's all right. Try again. Back to the prayer closet. And back to the workshop, okay? Creativity is in you. She sees what can be. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She creates heaven in her home. Number three. She understands her power. Proverbs 31:15. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she's got maidservants. So this woman is successful. Let's read it in the Amplified. Proverbs 31:15 says, she rises while it's yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their tasks. Now, the Hebrew letter here is Vav, and it's a picture of a hook or a nail. It's actually a nail. Vav. What does it mean? It means that this woman is the glue, is the nail that holds the family together. She's the hook. You ever heard, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy? She is the nail from heaven. A good wife is a gift from the Lord. You are a gift. You're a gift. And you are the nail, you're God's nail, to take a family that's scattered, to take a family that doesn't care, to take a family that doesn't even think about colors, doesn't even think about smells, doesn't even think about cozy, think about celebrating, because if you don't celebrate, who will? If you don't make the party, who's going to make the party? Please, your husbands? That's a frightening thought. If you don't celebrate life, who's going to celebrate it? You are the nail that holds it all together. And it says here that she rises while it's yet night. She gets up. Just right there we could preach off of get up. Woman, get up. Woman, get up. Get up and do it again. Get up and dream again. Get up and start again. Get up and turn the television off. Get up and get off the phone. Get up. Get up. Get up. Woman, get up. Because when you begin to get up, like when God rises and a woman rises, everything changes in her family. She rises while it's yet night. In other words, it's dark outside. Nobody's up yet, but she's up getting spiritual food. What does that mean? It means she's a watchman over her family. She understands the power a prayer, and she understands the power of the Word of God, and she's not going to start a day without being anointed for battle and anointed for the day by her Father. So she gets up and she rises. She gets spiritual food for her family. What does it mean? It means she gets up before the sun. Everybody else is asleep, but she's up. Now, I told you this story millions of times, but when I was nursing and all my kids, none of them slept through the night. None of them until they were five. And I had them 5 years apart, so I never, ever slept. And God spoke to me early on in my marriage, and he said, don't be frustrated because you're not getting sleep. Take the lack of sleep and begin to use it as your prayer closet. And he began to teach me how to pray at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that became my prayer watch. And I still am up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm 61 years old in a few months, and I don't have any children that are getting up right now. Just a husband that's 66, and now he's up going potty all the time. So we're still up. What can I say? You might as well just get up. She prays. She pursues, and she loves the Word of God. Listen, if you don't have any more than 5 minutes to open that Word, open it up in the morning. Lock the bathroom door, even though there's little fingers under the thing. Mommy, can you see me? Mommy, what are you doing in there? You know that. Yeah, we all know that. I'm going to the bathroom. You're not. You're just sitting on the pot because you got your Bible, and it's the only place where you can lock the door. And you know you can't stay there long because they could kill themselves. So, if you've got 5 minutes, take 5 minutes and get a verse. You can talk to God all through the day, but fervent, focused prayer hits the nail and takes that nail and drives it in against the enemy. And I'm not going to teach on prayer because I don't have time. But I have prayed over my family. I have seen my kids go from hell to heaven. I have seen the hordes of hell wanting to destroy Jim and I. Our marriage, our business, our church, everything about us, our health. And I know the power of the Word of God. I understand what it is to get up and get out and to open my mouth and to take my Word and to bring it before God and to contend with heaven and say, Father, your Word says, and to pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to hold up my shield of faith. I know how to pray, and it is prayer that has sustained us. It is prayer that has caused us to be successful. It is the power of prayer that has made my children come back from the land of the enemy. It is prayer that changes the world. But you gotta get up. You gotta get up, girls. She prays. She understands. She has authority. Listen, God said in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. Let them make us in our likeness. Male and female, he made in his image. You are made in the image of God. You are the female part of the Godhead. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man. He is not a woman. He is God. Can I get a witness in this house? It's not a she or a he. He's the father figure. But there is also that feminine side of God. And you're it. That's the side you took on. And so when I look at the feminine side of God, womanhood, I see the part of God that is astounding and beautiful and gentle and creative. But she's strong, and she gets up, and she knows the power of leadership. He said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and take dominion of this earth over everything that flies, over things that swim, over things that creep, over every living thing. Man, my son, my daughter will have dominion of this planet. We were the rulers of this planet. We still are. Get up. Get up, woman. Get up and take your place. Get up in the midnight hour. Get up at the 2 o'clock feeding. Get up before the family gets up. Take the Word of God. Great peace, Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. That's the New Living Translation. I know the King James. Those who love your instruction, your word, have great peace. And they don't stumble. Why? Because during the day, in your life, in the seasons that we're here on this planet, there will be everything in the world made to trip you up, to cause you to stumble. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young. There's seasons and there's devils and there's an enemy. And Satan usurped the authority, grabbed it from Adam. You know the story. And he hates humanity and he hates God. And God says, woman, I need you to get up. You're the nail in the You're the nail, and I need you to pray. I need you to understand the word. I need you to take your sword. I need you to understand servant leadership. Because what does that mean? Because you can't get up unless you're willing to be a servant. Listen to this. True greatness isn't achieved by the assertion of rights. True greatness is achieved through their release. True greatness isn't achieved by the assertion of our rights. I'm woman, hear me roar. I deserve this. I deserve that. I should be. How come life's not fair? That's not what makes us great. That's not what makes woman great. True greatness comes when I release any right I have. And I'm a servant. Listen, Mark, Matthew 20, verse 5. But Jesus called them to himself. His disciples were once again angry with each other because they were arguing about who was going to be great in the kingdom of God. Who was going to have the position. See, we're always jostling for position. The kingdom of heaven is different. You're not jostling for position because you know who you are. And you're happy to be what God's made you to be. And whatever he asks you to do and requests you to do, it's a magnificent thing because the king has requested it. If it means that I'm going to seek out wool and flax and I'm going to stand there and beat the flax and do the seeds, comb the flax, spin it into thread, weave the cloth, I'm going to do that with excellence because the master gave me the ability to do it. Servanthood. True greatness isn't achieved by the assertion of your rights, but through their release. When you say, I have no rights. I belong to him. I don't need to have this extra sleep. I don't have to. You see, God is able to breathe life into you whether you've had 4 hours of sleep or whether you've had a full 8 hours. I know a man that lived without bread and water for 40 days. I know several men in the Bible. God sustained them. You think God can't sustain you in this season of time when sleep is not happening? He can sustain you. He'll show you how to get sleep. He says, it's vain to rise up early and go to bed late, for God gives sleep to his beloved. He'll catch you up. True greatness is achieved not by the assertion of our rights, but by our releasing. I just want to say this, and I'm going to do one more. Can I do one more? Early risers catch the sun. If I can tell you one thing, these are my last words. If I was to walk out of this room and I was to close my eyes and open them in heaven, if this was my last thing I could say to you, I would say, get up. Get up, daughter. Get up from your despair, your discouragement. Get up from your wrong attitudes. Get up from the lies that you've listened to and now you've taken on as habits. Get up and be the woman God's called you to be. Get up and pray. Get up and talk to your Father. Get up and hook into heaven. Get up. Last one. Proverbs 31:16. This is one of my favorites. She considers a field and she buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. Now we're going to the marketplace. We've been in the home. Now she switches over. And the Hebrew letter here is Zayin. And it's a sword, Zayin. And it really slashes away the myth that women don't belong in the marketplace, that woman belongs in the home. Of course she belongs in the home, but don't you know you're multitask, my darling, and you can be in the marketplace because you're God's daughter. And if you need to be in the marketplace, God will make a way. And he'll make a way for you to be very successful. Because look at this. She considers a field, and buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard. The Amplified says she considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming others. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. So what have we got to say about this? Well, I believe that God is saying here with the sword that God's given us an aggressive side. He's given us that side that is meek and gentle on the outside, but on the inside, you've got the God factor. You know about dominion. You know about considering. She is thinking. She's dreaming. She's scheming. She's looking around, and she's looking at land. Land. Right now, we're in a huge depression in the Inland Empire. Some of you have lost your homes. It broke your hearts, but you were good about it. You didn't make your husbands feel bad. Well done. Well done. It was your dream house, and it's gone. Listen, that's only temporary. God gave Abraham land. God's given us the earth. Heaven belongs to God, but the earth he's given to the sons of men, Psalm 115. This earth belongs to us. She considers a field. She thinks, she dreams. The sword slashes to pieces the myth that women must be confined to husband, house, and children. She is, in fact, a landowner, a real estate entrepreneur, and she has an investment portfolio. She gives herself permission to dream, plan, and succeed. She's anointed to do business. She is to step into the marketplace, believe God, expand her bottom line and her horizons, and expect for God to bless her hand. Because it says here that she considers a field and buys it. She thinks about it, she buys it, and from her profits. So she's successful. She's making money on this thing. Now she's planting a vineyard. Now she's starting her business. It's growing. She gives herself permission to succeed. When's the last time somebody gave you permission to succeed? Or are people constantly giving you permission to fail? It's not going to work. This recession's never going to be over. Your house isn't going to be worth anything. That's what I hear all day long, because we've got real estate and it's driving me crazy in the natural. But on the inside, when I want to dump it, there's something that says, no, don't. The God factor on the inside of me. Every piece of property we've gotten, just about every one, I have looked and looked and looked. I remember when I bought our land that we built our house on to start this church. We went back into construction and we built a house because Jim was so brokenhearted he didn't want a pastor. We built houses. So we couldn't find a piece of land that we could afford. And it was on 4th of July and I had the green sheet. This was back in 1984 when there was still, you know, there was no internet yet. We looked everywhere for a ladder. We couldn't find a place to build anything. We went down to Temecula. We looked everywhere. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We lived in Lake Arrowhead. And I remember I'm looking at this green sheet. The kids were just tiny little kids. And there was this little ad, Yucaipa, acre and a half for sale. It was a rabbit tree. I didn't even know what a rabbit tree was. They raise rabbits. What's that? I said, Jim, there's an acre and a half for $35,000, because we had just sold our house and we had $35,000. That's all we had. Everything was 60. Everything was because we wanted land. So we ran down there and we went, oh, this is amazing, because my husband could see the rabbit trees just being taken away. That was an easy thing. Just get some bulldozers in there and they were gone. And that's where we started building. We built our first house. We earned enough money to live on, built another house until this church was 3 years old. And then we started to say, okay, it's too big. We gotta stop. And God convinced Jim that he was called a pastor, because he's always fancied himself a businessman. Huh. Of course, you know, he's pastor for 32 years, but that's all right. What am I saying? God gives you permission to succeed in the midst of failure. She considers a field and she buys it, and from her profits, she plants a vineyard. So what does this mean? It means she's a trigger puller. You know what that means? You make a decision. How many are trigger pullers in here? And how many are, I don't know if I should pull up. I'm not a trigger puller. Jessica and Jim are trigger pullers. Pull that trigger. Like Perry says, fish or cut bait. Make the choice. She's a risk taker. She's a risk taker. God's woman. She's not afraid out. She's not afraid to go out and do what she's got to do and step off the cliff. That's what she's got to do. She'd rather fail trying than hang on in fear. She takes a risk because she can believe God that he says she can be prosperous and she can succeed. She can take a risk because she's expecting God to back her. Joshua 1, 5 and 7, my last verse. It's about courage. God's speaking to Joshua. If he speaks to Joshua, he's speaking to me because I'm a daughter and this is a son and that's my father. It's good for Joshua. It's good for me. No man shall be able to stand before you. Moses has just died and God is now speaking to Joshua. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Did Jesus not say, I will never leave you or forsake you? I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's exactly what Jesus said. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, girls. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers. Only be strong and very courageous. There he said it. He's saying it again. Why? Because there's going to be every reason not to be strong and not to be courageous. There's going to be times where you want to have a meltdown. You want to just have a girl meltdown and just stay melted. There you are, a puddle. Never to rise again, but God said, get up. So he says, be strong and of good courage because you'll have every reason to fear. There'll be no reason to not fear unless you're looking at God and not at the circumstances. Only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do. Listen, you want to prosper in the kingdom of God? You don't turn to the right and you don't turn to the left. You do what's right God's way. God's will, God's way. You don't fudge. You don't hem and haw. You take a risk. You jump off the cliff. You believe God. But come hell or high water, you're going to walk in integrity and you're going to walk the word and do it God's way. And if God doesn't come through, you will be the first person that has ever failed because God went, oops, and that ain't going to happen. You are wired to be successful. You are designed for accomplishment. You are engineered for success. You are endowed with the seeds of greatness. Anything less is simply unacceptable. You are God's daughter. I got to stop. I didn't get to meekness, but that's all right. We've taught that so many times. She's meek, not weak. Yes, she's got a sword in her hand. But she's not carving people up. She's carving up darkness. People are not the enemy. The enemy of your soul is the kingdom of darkness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under the control of God. So girls, I'm going so much because I want to get done in 8 weeks, and there's a lot here. So you're right with me? Yeah. Let me just say this. This is the she's of this week, because every week I'm doing a bunch of she's. This is who you are. She works willingly with her hands. She makes the mundane exciting. She loves excellence. She creates beauty. She brings heaven to earth in her world. She rises early to catch the sun. She knows the power of sacrifice. She holds her family close. She dreams and achieves. She's a trigger puller. She's a risk taker. She is meek but not weak. She believes God for success. She is altogether lovely.